Welcome to Real Estate Today with Connie Irving. Are you getting ready to buy or sell real estate? Then you absolutely need to listen in. Here, you will be up to date with the process and hear some unique tips to guide you along your way, including interviews with other local experts in the real estate world. You may even get to know some great locations around the North Shore. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Again, so Jay, how do you pronounce your name? Jamin?
Is the actual pronunciation would be Jamin, but
Jamin.
Most of it's Jamin, but you get 90% of the people will ask me if I'm Jamin. Then they'll nickname me 94.5.
Right.
And then they want to know what, you know, ethnicity I am, all kinds of special things. There you have it.
There you have it. So I want to know, what is a home inspection? What is the home inspection? Why? What does it cover? Why is it necessary? Like, what's the point of a home inspection?
Technically, you don't have to have a home inspection. It's not required by the state of Massachusetts in any way to have that.
So it's up to the buyer.
Beneficial.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's highly beneficial to the buyer who, I mean, let's be truthful, you being in the real estate business, you know that these people, sometimes are first-time buyers, their heads are spinning.
Oh,
quite
yeah.
Literally spinning.
Literally.
They're trying to get time off of work. They're trying to sort out the mover. They're trying to sort out paperwork, financing. They're not allowed to make purchases on their credit cards because it could affect their score, which could affect the all kinds of things are running through this. And then you, the realtor, comes up with, oh, could you sign this? Could you sign this? Could you sign this? And you're guaranteeing that 50% of those people don't really, are not getting a firm grasp of what's happening around them.
Right.
So a home inspection allows them, it's the most important purchase of their life, I think, in my personal opinion.
Right.
So
My
job is to slow them down. My job, I think, our field, this is the chance I get to pull them in and say, look, let's breathe, okay? Take a minute. Nobody's rushing you. We have 3-4 hours. Never takes that long, but if they need it, we'll do it. And
right.
Let's look at what you're about to purchase. Let's just walk around. I'm going to explain every possible aspect to them so they understand it. This is what this does. This is what this is. Have you ever owned a home before? And most of them haven't. So you end up showing them this is why this is important. This is what you're going to have to know.
Right.
And education is the biggest thing. So what we do, quite literally, is walk around the home looking at every system from the roof, chimney, all the way down to the foundation and all the systems within, and allow them to see what they're getting, what condition they're in, if they need some service or assistance, and things that may be anticipated for failure.
Right.
Things that may be, you know, I even point out phenomenal. Look at that. I don't even have that type deal.
Yeah.
And let them know where they stand and let them know what they're purchasing as best I can, and give them a sense that what they're doing is, you know, you can't tell them whether to buy the property or not, but you can give them a sense of what they're going to purchase and let them have the education and information to make the proper decision for themselves.
Right. So personally, I've been to many home inspections. I still learn something new at every home inspection. That's why I love attending the home inspections with my clients, because like I said, every property is different. So I'm constantly learning, you know, whether it be issues that come up or certain things that the, you know, homeowner had done previously. It's just interesting. So that leads me to, what does a home inspection not cover? So what do you, you know, what's typically like a pool? Can you inspect a pool? Like, what are you not allowed to comment on or inspect?
That's a good question. It's not so much what we cannot comment on.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's a good point, because we don't inspect the pools unless we are qualified to do so. And if mm-hmm. we are qualified to do so, that would be what they call an additional fee for that service. However, if I get to someone's home and they have an in-ground pool and there's no fencing around that pool for protection, I might recommend for safety that they add a fence so no one gets injured in the pool. But I wouldn't inspect the pool for its ability to function as a pool, or the foundation of it, or anything to do with the system or the pump,
mm-hmm.
unless I see a safety issue up front.
Okay.
We don't do things like patios. We don't do patios. We don't do fences or any detached building. all these things can be added in if they'd like to do it. But as
mm-hmm.
a rule, most inspectors don't do those aspects of the inspection. What we would do, starting on the outside, would be just you do the roof, the condition of the roof as best you can,
mm-hmm.
The siding, make sure the siding's intact, windows, doors, the grounds, the grading, drainage systems, making sure that everything is functioning the way it's supposed to, the decks, the porch, anything on the outside that we can easily get to that's visible. If it's blocked in any way, we're not to go tearing things apart to access these areas. Access is supposed to actually be granted. Technically, the realtor or the seller is to provide even things like a ladder to get up to the attic.
Really?
So, yeah, when an inspector shows up, of course we have our ladder. Anyone who
right.
doesn't have a ladder would be insane. Technically, the ladder is supposed to be there.
Hmm.
Access is supposed to be provided for every area that we want to get to. And if something blocks our way, we could, and most of them would, say, I can't get in there.
Yeah,
this
so
is a place
you...
I can't get into. You didn't allow me safe, clear access, and there's not a sufficient lighting to see what I have to see.
Right.
And the reason for that is, it's a very simple one, believe it or not, is that if you have on the wall is a drawing that a child drew, a crayon drawing that's on the wall, and the access port to the attic is behind that. If I took that drawing off, which I could do, I suppose, or I'll ask someone to do it, but if I took it off and I ripped it, I'm responsible for that drawing. And it's one of those things where if I moved a Ming vase, well, it was just a glass vase from the dollar store, but when I move it and break it, it becomes a Ming vase.
Hmm.
And that's one of those situations that you try to avoid as best you can.
Yeah, I can imagine. So you're liable, basically, for anything that you...
Yeah, if I did it, sure. If it's something I broke or, you know, and most people don't get very upset with you, especially if you tell them what happened and how it happened.
Right.
But you don't want to get yourself in a position where you do damage something that's of extreme value. I wouldn't want to do that. So we ask that all the realtors and the sellers, too, give us the access. Give us clear, you know, ability to get what we have to get. Make sure all the storage is out of the way as best you can so that we can do the job properly.
Yeah. So what's the difference? I was always curious, and I can't believe I've never asked you this before, but so a typical home inspection, is it the same price? Like, is it the same price, same time for a home that's under, let's say, 2,000 square feet, and then one that's 3,500 square feet? Like, how do you determine a price for that, and is it more involved? So you're in this home, and it's 2,000 square feet, it's smaller, and then you're in this huge, you know, does the price double?
Right. Well, the pricing goes up from, obviously, single family to multifamily. There's price ranges for that. There are price considerations for the home being built in 1820. As
really?
Opposed to a house, only because there's a lot more to look for. There's a lot more crawling around. There's a lot more specific digging and looking in specific areas to make sure there's no time-warranted decay. Now, things have happened over the time. Modifications have been made. There's a lot of inaccessible areas and accessible areas we want to get to. So they actually do, if it's a new home with a full basement and everything's nice and clear, we can see the sill, and the conditions are so that we can fly right through it, the price would be different for that home as opposed to a home that had multiple levels that had been modified several times with multiple crawl spaces. All those things change the factor. If there's 16 bedrooms and one home is going to be priced differently than the home that would have two bedrooms.
So when a buyer calls in for an appointment, then do you ask these basic questions so that you can kind of gauge this for them or gauge your time? You know what I mean?
Right.
So like, how do you know how to schedule your day?
Right. The basic question is, one of the questions we ask is, how many kitchens does it have?
Oh, gotcha.
If
okay.
If there's one kitchen, we know we're dealing with a single family home as a rule.
Yeah.
If there's a few kitchens, now we have to know, well, is there an in-law apartment attached? Because that's going to be an additional unit we have to inspect with all the rooms inclusive to that, as well as the attic space for that. It's almost like doing a whole other home.
Right. Okay.
So things like that. So all those things come into question. If I'm going to spend maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours on site, then, excuse me, the inspection for those two rooms would be what it is. But if there's, like I said, 60 rooms, I'm going to be 3 hours on site going through these rooms.
Going through so all these rooms, yeah.
Yeah, so the time, the value of the inspection does change, not dramatically, but a little bit, based on the number of rooms and sometimes the age of the home and the size of the home.
So what's your average, what's your starting price for a single family home right now? We're 2014, September. What does your company typically charge?
Right now they're charging, I believe, for a basic, I can't think of the square footage. I think it's under 2,500.
Yeah.
That would be 375 for that.
Okay. And then it goes up from there, like you said, for a certain situation.
We're talking increments of like, you know, 395.
Right.
And then 410 and then 420 up from there. So it's a matter of whatever time is being used on that inspection.
What can a buyer do to prepare themselves before, or if anything, before they attend the home inspection? Like, do you recommend they bring, you know, like a notepad, or is this, you know, you write everything down? How does this, is there anything they can do, basically?
The only thing we don't do during the home inspection for them is things like cosmetic issues. So if there's a scuff on a wall, the wall is intact. The wall is painted. There's no damage to the wall. There's a scuff on it. If you'd like to make a note of that, absolutely bring a piece of paper and a pen and, you know, discuss it if you'd like to have them resolve that issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you can do. I'm here to observe and report on the standards of practice for Massachusetts or New Hampshire or Virginia, whatever I'm doing the inspection in, and put those into the report. And I'm looking for major defects. I'm looking for things that are to be reported on. Cosmetic damage is not something that I have to report on, but they want to make a note of it.
Right.
And that's why the walkthrough is so important at the end. You do a final walkthrough, or most do, when the home is that final stage of going through it. Everything from the home that was blocking my view, all the furniture, the storage in the cabinets, everything, appliances sometimes, is now gone. Once the rugs are up, there may be a giant stain on the floor that was not observable during the inspection.
Mm-hmm.
So these things are all things that will be taken care of later. But to have them mentally prepared for the fact that you might find something after we're done here, I'm only observing what we see right now. I'm following the state standards. I go above and beyond as much as I can. But if you have cosmetic issues, make sure you bring a pen, piece of paper. We'll talk about them, mark them down, and then follow me. That's probably the biggest thing a homeowner or a new homeowner can do, or the buyer, is to follow the inspector, because
follow.
I want to talk to you. Yeah. I want to tell you what I'm seeing. I want to explain it. If I put it in the report, those are the people that don't listen,
mm-hmm.
are the ones that call me 60, 70 times. Well, what was this? Well, you know, you were out in the yard having a drink with your friend while the inspection was going on.
Or some of them. Right. Yeah. And I have a lot of buyers, you know, out of state buyers that, you know, sometimes they don't want to attend the home inspection. And that's a big no-no, in my opinion. I need them there with their own set of eyes. Absolutely. They need to know.
They're out of state. I have some out of state people that I obviously have to go well above and beyond for them, because they're not here.
Right.
So I'll end up calling them at night and spending almost an hour or two on the phone going over the report step by step, explaining what I saw, because they weren't there.
But
if you're going to attend it, you know, the worst thing you could do is be outside, like I said, on the porch having lemonade with your friend, enjoying the day, and then come back and say, well, what was this about?
Like, right.
We're here for the inspection. Let's hang together. Let's learn together. And then we can get through this.
So on the flip side of that, is there anything that you can suggest a seller can do to prepare for the home inspection, or just as a whole, maybe even a pre-listing home inspection? Do you recommend that? Okay.
Absolutely. There's plenty of things. Some of the things we report on, believe it or not, are light fixtures with blown bulbs. The only reason I have to report on that is because how am I going to know that actual socket within that fixture is not damaged? Obviously, it's just the blown bulb. So I have to report on the fact that, you know, replace the bulb, test it. If it doesn't work, call a licensed electrician to repair that or replace that. Mm-hmm. So if the homeowner was really concerned, and some really are, go around make all the bulbs work. Put mm-hmm. all the switch covers on the switches. Don't leave them exposed.
Mm-hmm.
If you know there's a problem, don't try and block it and cover it up. I mean, it's just going to be bad for all of us at the end of the day.
Right.
Make it so we can get to where we have to go. I have people that have stacked bureaus or chests of drawers in front of the electrical panel so we couldn't get to the panel.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and that's just something that you, I mean, I know it may be beneficial to think, well, if you can't get there, you can't report on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that will send up a red flag, won't it? I mean, if there's
an
issue,
mm-hmm.
let's tell a buyer so everyone knows, and we'll explain that it's something that can be fixed or repaired, and then let them do their thing. Your sale goes through. The buyer's happy, the seller's happy, and no one's yelling at each other.
Oh, exactly. Yep.
That's
full
the
disclosure.
Yeah, I believe that.
Absolutely. I don't think that sellers really understand that, and I try to factor that in at every listing appointment that I can, you know, educate my clients so that these things come up, and like you said, they'll come up as red flags if you don't disclose them ahead of time, you know, and then it ends up, the buyer will end up walking away or, you know, panicking, and it's not good for either way, either buyer. So back to the buyer, do you look at, a random question, I guess, but do you take a look at the seller's statement before you head over to a home inspection, or is that something that's separate? In other words,
That's separate. That's something I would look at. That's a very random question, by the way.
We don't get that.
No, we don't get to see that.
You don't get to see that.
No, but it's very good. And I have asked, clients before while we're going through the home, we see water on the floor. I said, well, you read the disclosure. Was anything saying anything about it? Oh, yeah, they mentioned water. Okay, so then we know this. So then
right.
It's not a news flash for us.
But you're just pointing out more. Right. So,
yeah,
okay.
We're just confirming some of these things, you know. And some people, of course, you know, don't have or don't do the disclosure, which I don't understand that. But.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast. So now let me ask you this. When it comes down to radon testing, Do you do radon testing? Is that something separate?
I do.
And is that something that automatically comes with making an appointment with you, or is that something that the buyer has to specifically ask for?
That's an additional item. If they want to test for radon, which I'm not sure why people don't test for radon.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's 1 in 5 homes has a high level of radon. And the home that you're in, that you're at when you're doing the inspection may have nothing. The house next door could be through the roof, and the house next to that on the other side could be through the roof. You're never going to know until you test that.
Jamin, what is radon? I'm just assuming everybody knows, but you know what? I just realized
a lot of buyers
don't even know what radon is. So can you explain to us?
Well, radon gas is the result of the breakdown of radium,
which is
an element. So you find it mostly in granite,
mm-hmm.
but especially up in this area. But what happens is as the material breaks down, it literally creates what they call radon gas. Radon gas is a known carcinogen.
Mm-hmm.
So this gas builds up, it actually seeps up through the floor, especially where the ground is open and in spots. If you have a basement that's all dirt, but that doesn't matter because it can come up through any of those places. Any crack in the floor, it finds its way into and collects into a basement that is, say, closed off from the exterior. So during the summer months, you have a lower level because some of the windows in the basement are open and the air is circulating. But during the winter months, it can build up.
Mm.
It can do it in the summer as well. But
this humidity.
Can actually affect the reading. Yeah.
There's
all kinds of variables involved, which it tends to get into, but we can do that at a later date if you want. But the idea is that radon does build up in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And if 1 in 5 homes does have it, we want to make sure that the buyer knows that this is happening. The worst case scenario is installing a radon mitigation system in the home. That's the end result to finding high radon. A lot of people want to know that, may not want to deal with putting in a mitigation system and back out of the deal.
Mm.
But if 1 in 5 homes has it, there's a good chance that you're going to come across it in every other home you look at. It's possible.
It is possible,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, the idea is to test it, determine what the, you know, what the reading is, and then get the proper corrective action to take care of the radon in the home.
So for the testing, it's, let's just say my client has their home inspection. At the very end of their home inspection, they say, you know what, Jay, I want to do a radon test. So you already have that with you, or is that something that they have to remember to ask for before they set up the appointment?
We have the radon test kits on hand.
On hand.
Just have to make sure that the house has been closed conditions for 24 hours before we get there. None of the windows were all opened up.
Okay, because that affects the reading.
And then we can set up, in this case, let's just do the vial testing. We'd set those up in the lowest livable level that they want to be in, or the possible level they could be finishing.
Okay.
Test that. It's a 48-hour test. Then the vials are closed back up by whomever picks it up, which would be us or the agent, and signed off, and then sent to the lab for the results, and the results are emailed to them, giving them a full breakdown of what the rating was for that particular home and whether mitigation is required or not.
So they take the average numbers of the reading?
It averages out. And they're actually working on changing the particular rating right now. Right now it's a level four.
Mm-hmm.
Four or more, and they're trying to get down to somewhere around 2.2 at last I was reading.
And it is
what it is. So where every home, or most of the homes in this area, I shouldn't say every, that's not true,
mm-hmm.
one in five has it, again, there's a good chance that you might run across it, and we'll just have to put in the mitigation system to deal with it.
So for the buyer, that's the testing that can be done, but for the homeowner, when they're having this test done, can they utilize the lowest livable space? Like, I know that the areas have to be closed off. Can they go in these? Let's say, you know, it's in the basement where the homeowner does laundry.
Right. Well, technically they can, but they have to keep the house in closed conditions.
So in other words, the door behind them needs to be shut.
Everything needs to be to stay secure. They can come in and out of the home like they normally would, but they can't have the windows open. It's almost like cheating on the test, isn't it? So that when you set the equipment out, whether it's the machine or whether it's the vials, the only way that this can do a proper reading to get what it needs to get is to have the proper conditions met. So even rain and moisture can affect it. So if you know there's going to be an extensive rain that afternoon, or there was extensive rain that morning, your test results may be, you know, flawed by that.
Right.
So
okay.
You have to plan it appropriately. But you can also provide the kit to the buyer and say, look, we can't test today, but we see clear, normal temperature weather and low humidity for the next 2 days. After this, take the kit. I'll show you how to set it up, and then you can send this in yourself.
Interesting.
There's quite a lot to know. It's not a matter of just up and going. There's all kinds of variables that must be met.
Is this fact or fiction? I've heard this before, that certain style properties have more chances of having radon, like, in other words, split-level homes. Is that true?
I would say that would be fiction. And the reason I say that is the only difference I know, and I'm probably throwing myself under a bus here, but the only condition I would know that would be a major variable for radon would be the newer built homes, and that being that they're sealed up and they're completely
airtight,
wrapped in airtight conditions, so that this gas, if present, can build up, you know, to significant levels, if in fact it is in the home, where there's no escape. The older homes have, you know, the stone foundation sometimes with no mortar in them. They just, you can go right out the sides, and there's all kinds of ventilation spots, and that will reduce it too. So the newer the home, the better sealed the home, the more collection of radon, I would assume, if it had it on site, there would be.
Interesting. Okay. So let's move on from that, and let's talk about the end of the inspection. How long does it take for the buyer to have a report usually? Is it that evening?
24 hours. 24 hours, yeah. We give ourselves 24 hours in case. Obviously, we have inspections right after, one after another.
Mm-hmm.
So we end up working all day and then working all night. So the inspections, we do 2 or 3 a day, and then we'll go home and try and get one done right after the other, and then one done right after the other.
Yeah.
Then, you go to bed at midnight, but you're pretty much done by then for the people you have to take care of.
It's a lot of homes to inspect. lot of paperwork to fill.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to inspect, a lot of things to do, and of course you have to keep. I try and keep my reports as personal as possible.
Absolutely.
So instead of just, I know there's inspectors out there. They're all great, but there's people that say, you know, there's a door somewhere in the home that had a problem.
Right.
And it didn't detail for the client or the customer what was wrong. I try and put clearly, you know, the door downstairs in the bedroom on the left is broken. It's not latching. And tell them why it's a problem. What we do for my inspections is I observe, tell them why it's a problem, and then I tell them what they can do to fix it.
So tell me, so that brings me to this question then. So the buyer has completed the home inspection. You're ready to go. There is issues found during the inspection, you know, some maybe red flag items, who knows. But anyways, what would be the next step for that buyer other than receiving that report from you? How do you explain to them or how do you suggest? Do you suggest anything? Like how does that, let's just say.
How does it work? Well, I mean, we'll do the tiniest example we can do.
Me a tiny example so that I can.
You get to the home, and let's just say the front door is not latching.
Yeah.
It's just as simple as that. The door shuts, it closes, but it will not latch and will not secure. So the idea, it's not a red flag issue, but it is an issue. So we say, look, I observe what appears to be, you know, that type of deal. But in this case, it's the front door will not latch, although it closes fine. It cannot be properly secured. This is a safety issue recommend with repair replaced by a licensed contractor.
Gotcha.
So that's what it says in the report to some gist like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now the responsibility of the buyer to take the next step. I've just told you, you have a broken or a damaged front door and the latch will not catch. It's up to you now, within your period of time, to call someone to get an idea what that's going to take to repair that.
You're not allowed to comment on prices, right?
Not at all.
Not at all.
If I want to lose my license, I can tell them everything I should.
I really think that that's one of the things that comes up during every home inspections. I feel like buyers are just not aware of this, you know, so they just assume that you're going to be able to tell them that door can be replaced for XYZ, and they really don't understand the process as a whole.
Yeah, it makes sense. But I understand the point of not doing it as well. The idea is I walk up and it's going to cost you, you know, a certain amount of money to fix that door. And then it costs them three times that.
Right.
They're now upset. They're upset with me because I gave them an idea of what it would have been. Well, he didn't say that. He said it was going to be this.
Exactly. So
that opens up that can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of it is that you have several different contractors that they're going to call. No one should ever take the first contractor they call.
Mm-hmm.
They should call, I mean, this is my thing, you should call three separate contractors and always go with the guy who makes you feel comfortable and the guy who's in the middle.
Absolutely.
It's really what it is. You'll know. People can just have that sense. So have them come over, look at it, take the best price. They're going to give you an average, take the three prices. Most people will give estimates for three.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll know what range you're at, and the qualified contractor looked at it, identified every issue that needed to be repaired as opposed to me just saying a latch.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have a full understanding of what needs to be repaired.
Exactly. Interesting. Okay, good. I'm glad that we covered that because, like I said, that comes up often. And I just want to clarify that with my clients, as well as any new clients that are listening, it's just important for them to understand the process as a whole. So in your opinion, is there any red flag items that you look out for or that you commonly see as major issues? Would it be structural, you know, anything like that that you can, and I guess, you know, any problem can be addressed depending on, you know, negotiating with the seller or whatnot. But is there any, you know, really big items that you can find, red flag items that...
The most common item, I mean, there's several questions asked there from structure to whole and yard.
Right. I don't think we have time.
The most common, no, we don't. But the common issue that I find at every single home, almost every single home, is the grating around the foundation.
Really?
Water is the number one enemy of the home, period. There's nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, nothing else. Water destroys the roof, gets into the chimney, destroys the mortar in the chimney, seeps in through the foundation walls, causing that white efflorescent salt to push out.
Mm-hmm.
It can cause cinder blocks to, you name the issues that water can cause. And we often find at most of the homes I go to, you'll find that the soil simply is not graded in a direction that makes the water flow away from the house. It allows it to pond right at the foundation.
What do you do with a property that has, let's say, driveway, you know, around the side of the home, so there's no way for them to grade with soil? Can you, how do you recommend that to be adjusted?
Well, you get into that licensed contractor thing and have three guys take a look at it. But a good idea, I mean, just let's get the water to where it has to be. If we know that the driveway is filling up,
mm-hmm.
there is no way for the water to evacuate from the driveway but to head towards the home.
Mm-hmm.
We need to collect it somehow before it gets to the foundation. So a good thought might be, how about, you know, a French drain and that
mm-hmm.
outside? Not the interior. We talk, there is an interior French drain, but maybe a perimeter drain, rather,
mm-hmm.
on the outside, or a swale.
Mm-hmm.
Some way where it slopes away from the foundation and then slopes down into that same gully and allows the water to be directed to a different place.
But sounds like the grading overall is something that is simple in a sense to keep water out. But you're saying that that's one of the major things that comes up.
It is. And people that don't have the extensions put on their gutters.
Something
gutters are allowed. Yeah, they dump right at the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole idea of having the gutter system, is to let the water get away from the home. And we've collected it all from the edge of the roof and dumped it right at the corner.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big things, is water has got to get away from the foundation. It will save all kinds of issues.
All kinds of issues. Interesting. Well, Jay, I can talk to you all night, and I know that we're running out of time. So I'm going to have you on again. But just tell us how a potential buyer can contact you, or a homeowner that is looking to do a pre-inspection. How can they contact you?
Well, you can call me anytime at 978-675-7304, and we'll schedule for an appointment. We do evenings and weekends, so whenever's suitable for you, we work for your schedule.
Awesome, and I'm going to leave your information as well on my website, and I will also leave your email address on there and a little bit about you. So I am so happy that we got to talk tonight, and I look forward to having you on again. I know it's always interesting chatting.
All right, that's it for today's episode. If you would like to submit a question and have it answered by me, please visit www.askconnie.info. Leave me a voicemail or an email, and I'll be sure to respond and answer that question for you on one of the next episodes of Ask Connie. Thanks.